The court will proceed to the sixth case, Haynes versus Barnett. Mr. Whitley, you're up for a hat trick today.
I think that's the first time I've seen counsel in three cases in a row. You may hold a record.
Well, that's something.
You want to stick around? We've got a death penalty case this afternoon. You could make it four.
I'll pass. Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, this again is a Social Security case. This time the applicant is one Richard Haynes. Mr. Haynes suffers from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and he also has a broken heel with fragmented bones, which have caused him difficulty. The crux of this case is simple. The way I understand Social Security and the grids, Mr. Haynes meets the grids. And I think the administrative law judge simply dropped the ball, so to speak, when he looked at this case. And the reason I say that is this. The administrative law judge concluded that he has no transferable skills, he is semi-skilled, and he said that he is a younger individual to advanced age.
Approaching
simply
advanced age. What did he major in college? Does the record show that, or do you know?
I did see that. He had a major in mathematics and science, if I recall correctly. But his the extent of all of his work history was unskilled labor.
Yeah. Interesting.
He didn't proceed down any of the started courses.
I was hoping he had majored in something like penmanship, and he couldn't find a job any place.
He did not. I talked about the five-step sequential evaluation in the earlier case, and this, again, is application of that process. As I'm sure everybody is aware, if at any step along that process a claimant is determined to be not disabled, the inquiry ends. They don't receive benefits. If along that same process they are determined to be disabled, the inquiry ends and they are found to be disabled and they receive their benefits. In this particular case, we go all the way to step number five, which is application of the grids. The grids set forth specific rules, Rule 201.14 or 201.12, which is broken down by age. And the theory behind these rules is that if a person is of sufficient age and they are no longer able to do the work that they did all of their preceding life, and their skills are not transferable readily into some other similar occupation, then they're going to be determined to be disabled or not disabled based on their education, etc. In this particular case, the grid leads to but one conclusion, and that is that Mr. Haynes is in fact disabled by reason of his age. The administrative law judge concluded that he was between 49 and 50, and I don't understand that. I've never seen the grids applied. If you're 49, you go under this rule, and if you're 50, you go under this rule. But the simple fact of the matter is Mr. Haynes was 51 and a half at the time that the administrative law judge said that he went off of disability. And 51 and a half clearly is an individual approaching advanced age under the way that's defined in the grids. And the administrative law judge concluded that his skills are not transferable, and he has a severe injury. And you simply read across there, and it says disabled. Now, the response has been simply that he falls between grids. And I think that that is a red herring, because the way these grids have been set up is, yes, it's possible to fall between grids, and then you would go on and have a vocational evaluation done to determine whether there's employment that you can do. But the only way that you fall between a grid is when you don't meet the exact criteria of any one level. And in order to meet the exact criteria, you have to be within the minimum. That is, can you do the minimum required within that level? If so, you're evaluated at that level. Here, the administration has argued that because Mr. Haynes can actually lift more than the minimum required under sedentary, that he should be evaluated as falling between the light and sedentary, and therefore a vocational evaluation is appropriate. That's not, at least the way I understand it, and that's not the way the case law articulates it, or the code, which I articulated in with citations in the brief. If you can do the full range of work within any given exertional level, then you must be evaluated under that level. And it's only when you fall below sedentary or you are actually unable to fall within any one of the criteria that you go on to have a further vocational evaluation. Mr. Haynes fits precisely within the sedentary. He does not fall under the light. Based on the grid rule, he should have been found disabled.
Thank you, Ms. Whitley. Ms. Wangrim.
May it please the court, counsel. Mr. Haynes' main argument is that the ALJ should have applied the grid rules to direct a finding that he was disabled. However, the rulings say, the Social Security rulings say, that the grid rules only direct a finding when the rule accurately describes the claimant's limitations. Looking at Social Security ruling 8310, where one or more of the criteria of a rule are not met, then no decision is directed, and instead the rules are used by the ALJ in conjunction with the definitions and discussions in the regulations as a guidance or a framework. Mr. Haynes is not challenging any of the limitations in the ALJ's residual functional capacity finding. He merely contends that such an RFC, as we call it, would limit him simply to a full range of sedentary work for purposes of the medical vocational guidelines. But contrary to his argument under SSR 8310, the RFC is used by the ALJ to determine the claimant's maximum sustained capability for work. That's the highest function that a person can perform on a regular basis, not the least. So in this case, Mr. Haynes' RFC exceeds the exertional limitations of sedentary work. He can lift up to 20 pounds occasionally, and that's 10 pounds more than the lifting limitations of sedentary work. He can also stand and walk for up to 4 hours, which is 2 hours longer than the stand-walk limitations for sedentary work. We'd also point out that the sedentary requirements for sitting require 6 hours in an 8-hour day, and he has some sitting restrictions, and then he has to get up every 23 minutes and walk around. So given these facts, the ALJ properly concluded that Mr. Haynes fell in the middle of the regulatory criteria for sedentary and light work, and that based on SSR 8312, the grid rules alone would not direct a finding that we would need to get vocational expert testimony, and that is exactly what the ALJ did to determine if there were any implications on the light occupational base. And then the vocational expert testified that even with Mr. Haynes' limitations, given his age, his educational background, vocational background, he could still perform a significant number of light jobs, specifically 5,000 light bench assembly in the state and 6,200 packing jobs. So the commissioner would maintain that the regulatory guidelines were properly followed and that the vocational expert testimony constitutes substantial evidence to support the ALJ's conclusion that there were a substantial number of jobs, notwithstanding Mr. Haynes' limitations, that he could perform. Therefore, he was not disabled. We would therefore request that this court affirm the ALJ's findings.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Wangrim. Mr. Whitley?
I'll simply just point out to the court that at page 130 of my appendix is the last page of the administrative law judge's decision. At paragraph 7, he states the claimant is a younger individual to an individual closely approaching advanced age with more than high school education, a history of semi-skilled work with no transferable work skills. And the crux of this case, the entire problem, is that language with regard to him being an individual closely approaching advanced age to a younger individual. It can't be both. It's one or the other. The grids, they go up to 49. Once you're 50, then you're individual closely approaching advanced age, and you just read across, and it tells you whether you're disabled or not. And I think that's what brings us here today on this case, is simply the administrative law judge's mistaken application of his age to the grid.
Thank you, Ms. Whitley, and thank you, Ms. Wangrim. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.